Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC universe.
I'm gonna hang on to it. I'm hanging on to your hand. And really?
No!
Oh! The heat in here on this April Fool's edition of the DC Movie News Show it's palpable. The music, it's intense. I mean, by God.
By golly, we've done it.
How are you doing, everybody out there in the DC movie universe? Adam Gertler, of course, as we announced last week, he's busy shooting television, as he does. So, unfortunately, he's not here. But follow him at Adam Gertler and make sure you watch him on his brand new show. He has two shows aside from this one. So, what the hell? Watch him on both on FX Movie Download and also the show on FYI whenever that does actually hit the air. Let's get to everyone in studio today. Find us on Twitter at DC Movies SK. I am at Jay Quasto. The lady to my left, she's here every single week. You know her, you love her. She's wearing a Converse t-shirt because she keeps it old school. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer.
Hello, happy
she's
to be here.
Roxy Stryer.
That is me, I am.
There you go.
Like
profound,
Dr. Seuss.
Profound.
I feel like this music, it's like we're walking into a church.
Yeah.
What kind of intimidating churches do you walk into?
Ones in movies.
I was raised Catholic.
This reminds me of a movie that filled me with both wonder and disappointment.
And whiskey, all at the same time.
Now, I was a little young for whiskey at that time.
Well, you could always... Didn't stop you. Not gonna go there.
Didn't stop me.
We have a very special guest in studio. He's a friend of the show. The feedback was so strong last time he came in, we had to get him back. Except he's been very, very busy. But the good news is, he is now officially an LA resident. You can find him on Twitter at Sizzler Kistler. And he's also a New York Times bestseller for the book, Doctor Who, A History.
Thank you.
He's Alan Sizzler Kistler.
Good to be back. I'm happy to be back here, guys.
How you doing, bro?
And I have to say,
okay.
We're excited because you've been in the chat talking to us through these weeks, too. And you have amazing things to say, so now you get to say them out loud.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Chat was not good enough. I had to come here and make sure that you respond.
Oh, Last week, you got me so excited when you go, I'll work on getting you a pass to Comic-Con. And I agreed to do... I agreed to dress up and do something stupid.
As Bane Cat. You agreed to be Bane Cat. That's what happened.
So far, that's the leading choice on Twitter is for me to have to be Bane Cat.
Really?
Yeah.
By far.
I don't know how.
Bane Cat's pretty excited about it.
God damn it.
Just saying.
How do I dress up like Bane Cat? Do I put a full cat outfit on and then make a mask?
I will help you.
I'll do it.
I will help you do it.
There's like a Tigger onesie you can find and then like add the mask to it.
I'm on board. If I can get into Comic-Con, I'll walk around like that.
Maybe we could be Bane Cat dog and attach ourselves with the butts, and then I'll be Bane Cat and you can be Bane dog.
This is inviting lots of problems.
And then you just chase me around.
Are you just jealous?
Yes.
You can be Bane something.
That would be incredible. There's a lot to talk about,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Oh, also, you're going to be at WonderCon this weekend.
I am going to be at WonderCon. I'm going to be doing the spotlight with Jamal Igle on Friday. Mm-hmm. Jamal's a dear friend of mine. Saturday morning, I'm on a panel about how to get press coverage if you're an indie property.
Cool.
And love Sunday, that. I'm going to be talking with a few psychologists about the psychological benefits from watching geeky television.
Really?
Yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a panel I'd really like to see.
I feel like it would make me feel good about myself.
I'm going to see if I can videotape it because it's a panel that we get asked about a lot and, you know, not everyone can make it to WonderCon. So I'm going to see if I can videotape it and then put it up on my own YouTube channel later.
So Absolutely. Stay tuned. Yeah.
I think it would definitely stimulate creativity with that kind of television.
It does. Well, also, like one of my friends on it, on the panel, Janina Scarlett, she basically is a superhero therapist. So, like, she'll bring in episodes of Buffy or certain comic books to help people talk about their own trauma. So, for instance, if someone had been attacked and is having difficulty talking about it, she would show an episode of Buffy where Buffy is basically suffering from PTSD. Mm. And through them watching that episode together and then talking about it afterwards, the patient has been able to talk about her own experience more.
That's amazing. Wow. That's amazing that comic books and characters can do that for people.
I mean, that's what stories should be able to do, not just entertain us, but really reach into something and talk about it.
Well, that's the whole thing. This whole genre should be able to empower us. It's like any kind of make-believe. It's like the WWE's new catchphrases for the hero in all of us.
And I like that.
It is, because you watch stuff like this, it makes you feel like you can get out and you can do anything, and that's essentially why we want to be entertained and...
Well, it's like the greatest thing about Superman, the initial idea is not like Superman's here to protect us all. Superman believes we could all be Superman.
Yes.
If we tried.
And there's many ways you can do that.
Yeah.
And the key is, I think, just being a good person, helping other people out, makes you stronger, makes everyone else stronger.
Absolutely.
That's what we're doing in this show. We're trying to give you some fun entertainment to make you go out and do the best that you can do with your life.
Do your life. Live your life.
Do your life. All right, let's get into it. big news, May 15th, we are all going to be in the movie theater. Why? Because Mad Max Fury Road is going to be featuring the trailer for Batman vs. Superman. My God.
Say it again. Say it
again! May 15th, we're going to be in movie theaters because Mad Max Fury Road is going to be featuring the trailer for Batman vs. Superman. By God.
Yeah! Yeah! Is that not the best news you heard all freaking week?
Let's go do this.
All right.
Oh, God, I'm sweating.
It's amazing.
I am sweating.
Yeah, I know. This was just music to my ears. We've been all speculating, when are we going to see something? When are we going to see something? When are we going to see something? Well, May 15th, we are going to see something.
Yeah. And very, very smart, I think, with the May 15th with Mad Max, because as we know, Avengers comes out May 1st. It's already going to be a couple weeks that it's already in theaters. So I imagine they expect Mad Max to get a huge push.
Yeah. And Mad Max must be really stoked about this.
Whew.
Because that's going to bring in some viewers.
And there's already a lot of excitement for Mad Max.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson, I know, has signed off, and he claims it's awesome, and he's on board with everything about it.
All right.
I don't know how much people care about Mel Gibson's opinion at this point. But
true.
He's
burned a few bridges.
I love you. Always have. That's what he says to Mad Max.
is that the ending tagline?
The character. I love you. Always have.
That's actually pretty good, Johnny.
That's the only thing I can say in Scottish.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You are a voice actor, so I'm not surprised.
This is going to be amazing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was already on board with seeing Mad Max, but now just knowing that that's going to be there before the movie even begins. And who knows? What do you think it's going to be? I'm thinking it's going to be just a quick teaser trailer.
It is.
Yeah.
That's the game they've been playing the entire time. They're not going to give us some like big epic Avengers trailer where we get a sense of at least the first hour of the film. Like, it's going to be some quick glimpses.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I think it will be a little more than what Star Wars gave us as their teaser. Like, I do think that we're going to get something a little more plot-driven, subject-y, whatever it
more,
is.
More than just being told that there's a desert and the Falcon in the movie.
And they've changed the lightsaber.
And that there's a new lightsaber.
Yeah. I think that we're going to get a little bit more than something like that, but are we going to get a trailer that gives away too much?
No.
And I don't want that. I just need a little taste in my mouth about...
Letting it go.
I just need a little...
Roxy needs a little bit of taste in her mouth.
Did everybody just see that? He's coming around.
I'm never going to forgive myself for that.
The memes that are coming this week.
But we do think that it's going to be more than just what we saw at Comic-Con, right? Because that was just a logo, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I think people would be pretty pissed if this was announced as a trailer, and that's what we got again.
Yeah.
You've got to at least see Wonder Woman show up like, hey, I'm in this movie too. You've got to at least...
You think we're actually going to see the characters in this trailer?
If we don't, I would really be disappointed. Same. I think we need to... I mean, because it's not a freaking secret anymore. We've seen the photos of Momoa and Gadot.
Gadot.
Yeah, I know. Gadot.
Wouldn't it be funny if they just showed that little scene from I Am Legend where just he walks by the poster and then that's it?
You know it's coming out.
One of these days, they're just going to start showing the fan trailers instead, because people are making such amazing things that I honestly think they'll just pop one of them on.
The best fan trailer that I really saw was the John Carter fan trailer that came out, where it actually gave you a sense of what the John Carter movie was, as opposed to every John Carter trailer, which did not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, like, totally badly sold that film.
Right, absolutely. But people are doing amazingly crazy things where they piece together different actors' roles and different things, and they actually put it all together and make it look like... They make me excited for movies. It's amazing what people can do.
Yeah, we're going to have a hell of a movie month in May.
Movie month. Movie month.
She's all about singing
down
today.
To the movies. It's movie month. It's May.
This is the one month you head down to the
movies. Bring your
lip
gloss. Bring your lipstick. Why do you have so many options for your lips here? It's only a 50-minute show, Rox.
Yeah, I know. I know. You got to put one on top of the other one. And my girls would know all about that. I'm sure no Gal sense. Feels me there. It's a Wonder Woman technique.
You go, Gal.
Ooh, clever.
You see what he did
clever.
There?
I see what he did.
I see it.
What we're doing there.
For movie month.
I don't know why, but I just smelled your lip gloss. No idea why. It's one of those weeks. All right, so yeah, we're excited for the trailer. May 15th, Mad Max Fury Road. We can't wait to report on that afterwards. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure if I would have seen this immediately when it came out, but now I definitely will be.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of teasing, David Ayer gave us a little tease this past week about Arkham Asylum. He tweeted a picture of just patient records with the caption of "Set deck, every detail matters, hashtag Suicide Squad." So basically, it's the patient records that have a little logo of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And I dig that.
I really dig that. I'm a big... I really wanted to see Arkham Asylum in this. There was never a question whether we would, though. And I love when they do put out small little teasers like this, just showing us, hey, we're still here.
I also like there's a consistency that the logo is basically the same logo that's been in the Arkham Asylum video games.
Mm. And it's smart.
And I just dig that. I dig that when the consistency can carry across the different media, because, I mean, there are going to be differences anyway in terms of the characters and the stories that happen, but if we can, like, keep the Stark Industries logo the same, or the Arkham Asylum logo the same.
Makes sense.
That's cool to me, and it helps, frankly, with branding and marketing.
Yeah. The crossover, yeah, of course.
And especially because we aren't doing things like using the same actors or crossing over those worlds. It is nice when at least you feel like it's cohesive and they are all working together at some sort of thing.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I mean, some people don't like all these teasers, and I'm not a huge spoiler guy, but to me, this isn't a spoiler. It's like, you've got to believe Arkham Asylum is going to be a part of the film anyway.
Well, when you've got characters like Harley Quinn and the Joker showing up, at some point, Arkham would be mentioned.
Yeah, of course. That's, it was not a question of whether it would ever be thrown in there, but the fact that this is assuring us it will be.
Yeah, and
I just love how thick those patient files are.
Oof.
It's like, man, that's a lot of info.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's just like per one person, no joke.
Yeah, like three of those are
for the Joker.
For the Joker.
Yeah. You know what's funny? As someone who's worked in healthcare for years, and I worked in a hospital for a long time, I naturally, when I see patient charts, sometimes when they are that thick, I kind of cringe because you know it's going to be possibly a difficult patient.
And
sure.
You see the Arkham Asylum logo, you're like, oh god, this is going to be violent.
Oh yeah, you see the whole binder. You're thinking,
I hope there aren't photos.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be. Pretty sure.
But while we're talking about Suicide Squad, we have plenty more news about the film. We have three new cast members. Well, two brand new ones and one relatively new cast members. First off, Scott Eastwood. He's the son of Clint Eastwood. So he's had a rough life. He's going to be playing Scott Trevor, Steve Trevor, who will eventually become a love interest in Wonder Woman. That's what they're saying.
So here's the deal. Yes, we all joke about him being a very famous person's son. He's actually incredibly talented, though. And he was in Fury and all those different things. So I am excited to see him in this movie for a plethora of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's interesting that there is rumors about him being Wonder Woman's love interest because we have so many other possible love interests for her. If we go the New 52 route, we'll talk about some other different routes we could go later. But it's just like, where are they going with this? Who is Wonder Woman going to be with? How many different triangles, rectangles, what comes after that? Hexangles.
Hexagons
are there going to be? Thanks for that.
No, pentagons.
How many sides in a hexagon?
Five.
No.
Six.
Yes.
Hexa. Penta.
Pentagon.
Penta would be five.
Yes.
Hexa. Octa. Eight. What's seven?
Septagon.
Septa.
Boom.
I took math.
You just learned, people!
Giving you all the education you need.
DC Movie News teaching you about.
Sis, what are your thoughts?
Steve Trevor is a very cool character that half the time, though, they've not known what the hell to do with. Because, like, when he first shows up, he was this character where it was part of the whole feminism message of Wonder Woman, where he was bothered by the fact that he's a soldier, he's an airman, rather, and he had to keep getting rescued by Wonder Woman, and he felt bad, like, that he didn't help enough in her adventures.
Pull his own weight, yeah.
Right, and she even said, like, this is why, there's a comic book where she flat out tells him, this is why we wouldn't get married, because you're thinking of that I would have to be subservient or less than you for that to work. And eventually, as the comics went on, he realized, no, I love her for her strength, and I don't have to be able to overpower her. I don't have to be stronger than her.
Yeah.
I love her because she's amazing.
You don't got to be the breadwinner.
Right, and we work. And then William Moulton Marston died and left the comic, and after that, they really didn't know what to do with Steve. So he just sort of became this jerk, who is charming, but definitely a jerk, and would sometimes do things to make Wonder Woman jealous. And Wonder Woman was now much more concerned about, oh, can Steve love me for me, or does he just love the glamour of Wonder Woman, stuff like that. They didn't know what to do with him. In the 80s, they reinterpreted him by making him about 20 years older, and so he took on more of an older brother role, so there was no romance.
Huh.
And then the New 52, we've had him where he's totally enamored with Diana, but she doesn't have any feelings for him whatsoever, leading him to get jealous and envious when Superman and Wonder Woman get together.
Let me ask you something. Of all of those different versions, hearing that this could be a possible love interest or whatnot, which kind of character would you like to see him being?
I'd love to see the original one, where he's a military man who initially has problems.
A lot of pride.
Yeah, he's a lot of pride. Yeah. And he's feeling, not that he resents her for her powers, but that he feels like inadequate and sort of like, well, what can I offer her if I can't save the day sometimes and stuff? And then realize that's really stupid and go over that. I think that's great. Nathan Fillion also did a really entertaining version of Steve Trevor in the Wonder Woman animated movie.
Hmm. Yeah.
So if you kind of got like the Nathan Fillion charm and add it to that original version of Steve, I think that'd be a fantastic hit.
And we're all insecure, and that's the thing. We want to relate to these characters. We all have insecurities. It doesn't matter who you're dating, who you're not dating. We all have certain parts about ourselves. So for this guy to be a proud, strong military guy with Wonder Woman, how can you match up?
Yeah.
You got to swallow that pride a little bit. So, yeah, I could see this working.
My question would be, though, how does he enhance the storyline, the overall story arc? Yes, of course, we have to develop Wonder Woman as a character, but are we too sidetracked here for a Suicide Squad movie? Is this going to actually help us, or what?
Well, if he's, I mean, New 52 Steve is not just an airman. He's also involved in Argus, which is the organization that deals with superhuman terrorism acts and such. And so it makes some sense that in his government role, he would maybe show up to look over the Suicide Squad, maybe check on what Waller's doing. Maybe he doesn't approve. He and Waller have worked a lot together in New 52.
Gotcha.
So he might not be, like, you know, on the team, but you could have him in the beginning and at the end, checking on Waller, basically saying, you know, I don't like how you're doing. Like, we need a better hero, a better type of hero. And that could set up Wonder Woman or something.
And then how would you guys feel about this casting choice? And I know it's kind of complicated because we don't know exactly which version of the character they would be going with. But what do you guys think about him being cast?
I think he's good. And, you know, again, we don't know which version we're going with. But also, you know, good actors are good actors. So if he can act, he will act the role that they give him.
I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the Eastwood tree.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm fine with this casting. I wish him well.
Yeah. We have two more cast members to talk about. These names are a little more difficult to pronounce than Eastwood. Raymond Olubawale is going to be playing King Shark. Big dude.
He's going to knock you out.
He might. He's a boxer.
Yeah, no, I think that we have, he is. He's a boxer. He's a big dude. We don't know that much about him. King Shark is the rumor right now. Again, we're introducing a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. A lot of characters.
And not to mention, now this is the hard one, Adewale Akinoye Abaje is going to be playing Killer Croc.
That's about the pronunciation. I'm not sure if you nailed it, but I'm thinking you did.
If I didn't get that correct, I apologize.
Yeah, that's why we're, and this is, now we're showing the picture for him.
Yeah.
And he is really, really talented. He played Mr. Echo on Lost.
I loved him on that.
I think he's amazing and kind of scary, but also has a soft side to him. And I will be calling him Mr. Echo because that's the name I can pronounce.
That.
So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but that's what we'll be doing.
What are your thoughts, Sizzler, on how King Shark and Killer Croc are going to be kind of thrown into this movie? Like, New 52, we know Killer Croc escapes through the underground tunnels and after the asylum gets destroyed. And also, Killer Croc, over the years, has been portrayed as, like, low-intellect brute force.
Do you think depending which version.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to go that route? I don't think so.
I don't think you... I mean, King Shark already kind of fills in the brute force aspect.
So you don't need Killer Croc to do that, you
it's,
mean?
It's an interesting thing to include them both in the same team. That's, I mean, yeah. But Killer Croc, again, like, the original version was a mobster, and
right.
He wasn't really mutated. He had scales in his skin, so it gave him this slightly reptilian appearance. It was some form of atavism, but he was a mobster. He was a marksman. Yeah, he was a sniper, and he was responsible for the death of Jason Todd's parents before they retconned that. And he was a cunning guy. And then later on, artists started making him more crocodile-like. And he was still intelligent, but not quite the super mobster he was before. And then the cartoon portrayed him as this brute force, slightly stupid, depending on the episode, thug.
Right.
Like, he was a powerhouse. And, yeah, we've had a couple different versions of him. And then in the comics, like, because the action figures were really making him look like a crocodile, then Jim Lee just totally had him get mutated.
Yeah. I mean, look at that picture right there.
Yeah. In Hush, we were told he got mutated further into being basically a human crocodile hybrid.
So with King Shark and Killer Croc, how do you think they're both going to be portrayed?
I mean,
If it is both of them, which we're not 100% positive yet.
We're not positive on the King Shark or either of them.
We're not positive on... I don't think that DC or Warner Brothers has confirmed either of them fully,
gotcha.
But I do think that we're pretty positive on Killer Croc, and I'm not...
I mean, he's a fantastic choice for Killer Croc. I would dig it if Killer Croc and King Shark maybe had a rivalry in there, because that's part of the joy of the Suicide Squad, that you have guys and girls who maybe don't get along, maybe wouldn't mind if the other person died during the mission and wouldn't save them. So I could maybe see that. I would love to see a more intelligent Killer Croc again who's trying to get the upper hand and just trying to find that way to get away from them.
Do you see them both maybe being locked up and having kind of a rivalry?
That could even be it. Well, also, that brings up an interesting point. Just because they're in the movie doesn't necessarily mean they make the squad. So maybe they fight it out in the beginning and Waller picks the winner.
So coming from the YouTube chat right now, Retro Bat says, yeah, lots of characters because they'll all be in Arkham, maybe a break out of jail scenario at the end of the movie.
Sure.
So it's right.
Or even just a hallway scene.
Yeah.
If it ends with a prison break, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but I don't know if you get some of these name actors and then just have a quick hallway scene. But some of them,
maybe
I guess
if you were setting them up for Justice League
or
one of the other movies.
Maybe, absolutely.
I think that's what these characters are kind of going to be there for. But because they're really coming, a lot of characters are going to be involved in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. That's what I'm saying. But a lot of people are getting nervous about it. I'm not nervous about that, at least not yet, because I think that a lot of characters could be a really great thing.
Sure.
As long as they're utilized well.
Yeah, I'm on board. Speaking of Suicide Squad, Junkie XL.
Yeah, I started composing, but not for Suicide Squad, for Batman v Superman. And he just, I think it was an Instagram picture where he posted and he said, it has begun or something. So people are excited about that.
Can you imagine being in the mind of that guy in studio? Like what notes and what vibes kind of go through his brain?
I really, really can't. That's not the way that my brain works, and I think that the fact that people's brain does work that way is so freaking cool, and I'm envious of that.
Makes me wonder if a guy like that, or a guy like Hans Zimmer, if 24 hours a day when they're walking around, maybe at the grocery store, and just in their head at all times, you just hear...
There's theme music for every situation.
I mean, every time I walk into a room, songs play. Like, Foxy Lady.
The Danger Zone.
Roxy Lady.
Not really, guys. Not really.
And Kenny Loggins all day in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Playing with the boys.
Zone.
Why not?
Yeah.
Danger Zone?
Yeah, sure.
You have no idea who we're talking about.
Of course I know who you're talking about. Why do you always say that?
Because you are young. I didn't know if you knew Kenny Loggins.
I know Kenny
collection.
Loggins. I know.
She knows Top Gun.
I know.
Do you know Top Gun?
I know Top Gun.
Okay.
This is so sad.
I'm not. Well, you weren't alive when the movie came out.
All right. Well, I'm alive now.
You're lucky. I wish I was not born when... I wish I was that young.
Little baby Roxy.
Little baby Roxy. Not even know what Top Gun is. All right, moving on. Suicide Squad. We got a little bit of a teaser, if you will, for the plans for Jai Courtney's Captain Boomerang. Described in three words. Rock and roll! They say it's going to be very hard rock influence, possibly a trench coat, wardrobe changes throughout the film. Sizzler, what do you think about Captain Boomerang as far as how they're going to portray him?
You know, Captain Boomerang is a very cool dude if you stick to how the Suicide Squad had him, because he was the jerk and the class clown mm-hmm. of the group, but he was also freaking cunning and manipulative. Like there was the other character Slipknot on the team.
Not the band.
Right. And
I know them too, by the way.
And this was when they had the little bombs weren't on their necks or in their skin. The little bombs to keep them in line were on their wrists, like attached to their wrists. And Captain Boomerang didn't know for sure if this was a lie or not. And so he started talking to Slipknot during one mission. He's like, but acting like, yeah, no, it's a lie. I found out. Like, no, they're not actually.
They don't actually work.
And Slipknot was like, oh, awesome. And started running away. And it blew up and he lost his arm. And Captain Boomerang's like, all right, good to know. Good to know.
Wow.
And that's the kind of cat he is.
It's funny because back in the day, wasn't Captain Boomerang portrayed as kind of a fool?
Yeah, no. When he was, well, he came out in 1960 and it was this guy. The idea was that he was a mascot for a toy company. So the toy company gave him the costume and the name Captain Boomerang. And then he thought this would, like, lead to other opportunities, but everyone just made fun of him because of how ridiculous he looked, so he just was like, screw this! And used the specialized boomerangs to start committing crimes.
Right.
And then just, you know, he would attach Flash to a giant boomerang and shoot him into space, and then he joined with the Rogues, and he was just kind of this kooky guy. But in the 80s, John Ostrander started giving him more of this cunning and more of a bloodthirsty edge. Of the Flash Rogues, he was definitely one of the more bloodthirsty guys.
I think if anything, we've seen that the goofier somebody can look, the more dangerous they're capable of being.
Yeah.
For example, we saw Trickster this week. He's weird looking, and he's really, really conniving.
Fantastic.
Joker's the exact same way. Kind of weird looking dude, but
well, it's
really
that,
got it.
It's that great juxtaposition.
Right. And I love
that. From the absurd
that.
To the deadly. Yeah.
Right. Which is why I think this is a really cool character, too. And even more so than specifically what they said, I'm just happy they freaking said anything this week. Because we've been hearing so much. There's been so much about all of the other characters. And I really don't feel. I feel like they've been so hush-hush about him.
And I think him being cunning, like you said, and very manipulative and very sinister.
He's
would
out for
fit.
Him.
Right.
He's out for him.
And that would fit the role. That would fit the whole vibe of the way Suicide Squad's going to be. They're saying it's going to be dark. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they might borrow some of the more recent ideas, like in the Arrow TV show, that he was in the Australian Secret Service. And so he brings a military skill to it. You know, boomerangs are freaking deadly. Like, they're used for there are different kinds of boomerangs. There's the throwing boomerang and the returning boomerang. But they can be used for hunting and killing, like. You give him some razorangs, some bomberangs, I'm down.
Great comment in chat roll by W. Dillett saying, Captain Boomerang is going to piss a lot of people off. You'll wish he died, but he won't.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of character he should be. That is exactly the kind of character, and he should have a trench coat.
There you go.
And do we think he really won't die? Because I'm thinking we might lose somebody we're not sure we're going to lose.
Someone.
Maybe it might be Enchantress.
Someone's got to die.
Might be. I mean, Jai Courtney's really huge.
King Shark, Enchantress, I can definitely see them dying.
Or Croc.
Croc, maybe. I could see them keeping on Croc because there's a Batman history there and you can make more toys and you can go back and watch so many cartoons and so many versions of him.
Or they could throw in KG Beast like on Arkham Asylum and have him die in the first three
minutes. KG Beast. There's a dated villain.
That poor communist.
Oh.
What
are you going to do?
Also lost a hand.
Yeah, he lost more than that in Arkham Asylum.
It's pretty trendy these
Assault
days.
Assault on Arkham, I should say. All right, moving on. We got a possible teaser moment at Batman v Superman from Henry Cavill. I can never say that right.
Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
But it's cool. You're trying to make him like an elegant Cavill.
Cavill.
Yeah.
He says he has not worn the Superman suit since November, and he doesn't know when he will again. But when asked about details, he did say, unfortunately, I can't really say anything about that. I wish I could. Believe me, I wish I could. But there is a firm handshake at some stage, yes. So the question is, how violent of enemies will they be if he says there's going to be a firm handshake?
I mean, the firm handshake can come in so many different circumstances. That might be when Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet on the street.
Right.
They're just kind of sizing each other up.
That's true.
It also, firm handshake could be them being it could mean a lot of different things, like job well done, or it could mean screw you. You know, like,
Hello, sir.
Firm doesn't really describe the emotion behind it. It just describes the fact that these are two superheroes shaking hands. I would guess it wouldn't be flimsy.
Yeah, and plenty of enemies have had firm handshakes.
Yeah. I don't like you, but I respect you, damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the forearm grab.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't really know what to make of this other than the fact that he is pretty tight-lipped on things sometimes. So the fact that he said this, wow, we're all like grasping at straws here. Like, what'd he say? I don't know how much it really means.
So your thoughts overall as well? Yeah. It's not good. He's not going to give away that much.
It doesn't. I mean, ideally, I would love for there not to be that much fighting and for them to figure out. I would like the drama to be a philosophical conflict, like an emotional conflict about how you do the job. But I'm honestly not interested in seeing too much of a fight. I've just seen that in so many comics and cartoons now.
Based on the title, though.
I know, which is why the title depressed me when it came out.
Do you think it might be more of a psychological conflict?
I would love that. Yeah. I would love that. If it's really like how they deal with things differently and if they're looking at each other as, you know, I think you're naive. Well, I think you're crazy. I would be down with that for a while, and then eventually they come to an understanding of that. In the end, they're just two orphans who don't want people to die.
But wouldn't you just see, I mean, you're saying that we've seen the other way so many times, but I feel like we see what you're describing right now. Like, for example, just on Flash and Arrow, the way that the two of them deal with things. One's way more campy, doesn't like to kill. The other one's whatever it is. I feel like we do see that a lot, too, a conflict of interest. So I feel like both of them have been done many times. It's just how you do it.
If they wind up fighting and they do it in a really entertaining way, I'm not going to complain.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But I understand
this
your fears.
This is my general feeling, and also I'm sort of tired of Dark Knight Returns. I've seen like three adaptations of it. So how much this movie, several elements of it resembled Dark Knight Returns, I'm like, okay.
Right.
Like,
and I think you said it perfectly. When it comes down to it, they're two orphans that don't want people to die. They want to do the greater good for the greater part of society.
Yeah.
But they're stubborn as hell.
Yes.
And so they're going to butt heads. Let's do a psychological fight.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You've got a Kansas Midwestern farm boy who doesn't have time for double talk and BS. And you've got an aristocrat who has had a lot of resources and privilege that a lot of people don't.
And
all the money
time
in the world, but no happiness.
Yeah, exactly. So, like they should absolutely have a conflict. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would love that.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I was thinking that maybe at some point the conflict would actually be over Wonder Woman. Not the major conflict, not why it's called Batman v Superman.
I would get bored by that, too, if it's two dudes fighting over a chick.
Well, not the major conflict, but I kind of thought maybe, yes, there would be a major conflict, but maybe it was just, like, over every little thing they see differently and whatever it is, over the woman, over...
I'd rather see a fight over a philosophical difference than a fight over Wonder Woman.
That's true. That's called This Is the End. We saw that.
Yeah, there you go.
Similar movie.
I meant this means war, but that works too.
I was going to say, comparing to a Seth Rogen movie,
this means war. That's what I meant, Tom Hardy.
Once again, Roxy with the incorrect movie reference.
I don't even care that you just insulted me because you did it in a Bane Cat voice, so that's fine.
I hate myself.
And now you're mini me.
Now I'm doing
Dr. Evil. He was mini me. He was mini me.
Dr. Evil, aka Lorne Michaels. Well, Ben Affleck, he was talking to Congress this week because that's what Ben Affleck does.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, also in the House, shout out to BG. He basically.
And he did shout out to BG.
Of course, why not? He was testifying to Congress to explain the importance of foreign aid to Africa, but he did do a Batman reference. I quote, "I would be remiss not to recognize my co-star in Batman, Senator Patrick Leahy, had a cameo in Dark Knight Rises, of course, and he says, your role was significantly smaller than mine, but I understand you are quite good."
I dig that.
Kind of funny.
I dig that.
It's just like, you're not going to talk to Congress where people don't know who you are. So just acknowledge who you are. Talk about the role. I think it's cool.
Wait, you think people in Congress don't know who Ben
is? No, that's
what she's saying,
opposite.
Of course. Like, you know that they know who you are.
Right. Yeah. It's not like some guy who's maybe landed one or two roles and he's trying to use it to his advantage. Like, this is freaking Ben Affleck. Everybody's going to know who he is. So the fact that he went there and he acknowledged that he's an actor and I thought it was clever and funny, and he's trying to do good for the world, so that just makes him even cuter. And his girl Jay Gardner is behind him.
She was there. And the senator had to be excited about that. Like, yeah, it wasn't Batman.
Yeah, because he's obsessed. Well,
we are bros.
Yeah, we're bros.
Totally. We're like on the same page, man.
Next time
That's what the senator sounds like in my head.
Next time I suggest a bill, why don't you push it through, courts?
Oh.
I know nothing about politics. I'm assuming that's what happens.
Sure.
Push it.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
The court's involved.
Yeah. I was in Batman. Push it through.
You know DC. That's good enough.
Moving on. Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah.
Xiao. All right, here we go.
Oh, I like that. Xiao.
Yeah, Xiao! They're going to be lending their voices for the 50th anniversary of Batman. Of course, it began way back in 1966. They said at a recent North Carolina fan convention called the Mad Monster Party, Burt Ward says, I quote, "I'm not sure if our agents will allow us to say this," and then Adam West jumps in. "I tell them what to do." They say a 90-minute feature is coming out, possibly another project as well. And, of course, they've lent their voices in the past to the New Adventures of Batman and the Legends of Superheroes. This is cool.
I'm excited for this. This is fantastic. I love Adam West.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I think it's a cool homage, too. They look so freaking goofy in all of these pictures everywhere, but I think that's awesome.
And that was the beauty of the show. Yeah. That was the beauty of the show.
It's perfect.
That's exactly how you do a kind of campy satire, because even though the world is ridiculous, like, Adam West played it so straight. Like,
right.
he believed that Gotham was in danger
yeah.
unless we stopped the exploding whoopee cushion.
Right.
Like, that was a threat. That was a threat that had to be taken down.
As long as you don't play to laughs.
Exactly. And they did it. It worked so beautifully.
So you're excited for this animated?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. My question
is, bring everyone back, you can.
Do you think it's going to be an animated version? It's got to be based off the 60s.
I think so, absolutely. Which has been having a resurgence of interest, especially with the digital comic Batman 66, which takes place in that whole version of events.
You know what I would love to see in the animated feature? You know how in the original Batman, when they would climb up the wall?
Yeah, yeah.
It was literally them walking forward with the camera angle turned.
Right.
I would love to see the animated version look that cheesy.
Oh, really?
I mean, and you could have, like, celebrity guest voices there, because that was the beauty of the walking of the wall. It was always, like, Sammy Davis Jr. would look out the window, and, like,
that's
like
awesome.
That happened.
Where are you
episode.
Going, babe?
That's awesome.
It was fantastic. Like, who's going to look out the window this time? It was just some random celebrity.
Somebody comes in for 5 minutes, records VO, and leaves.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that.
Sometimes, Robin, you just can't defuse a bomb. I forget the exact quote.
Sometimes you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't get rid of it, and then you just hold it. Ah!
One of the greatest moments in cinema, which was strangely then adapted for the ending of Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. Very, very much
loosely.
So.
Loosely.
Loosely.
There were no nuns. That was really the biggest change.
You need nuns in a good bomb
scene. Yes. Yes.
You always need them. But yeah, I think that's really cool. They're obviously still paying homage to Batman 50-year anniversary. They're going to get Adam West, Burt Ward involved. And the fact that they're both still willing to do it, hey, why not? Work is work.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah. I think not only willing, but excited.
When that comes out, we should do a review show of that.
I'm down.
Yeah, if you want to come in.
I'm totally down.
Then everybody I saw through the comments last week wants us to review Man of Steel also. So we'll start putting out some reviews.
Yeah. I mean, maybe as a separate show.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't replace this with just a review show.
This show is irreplaceable.
Yes. This show is priceless.
I'm loving the voices tonight. None of them as much as Bane Cat, but still.
I already did it twice. I'm not going to overkill it.
I know. I know.
I already
we'll get them next week, guys.
Let's move on to television. Roxy, I know you're ready.
TV time. TV time.
TV time. It's TV time.
I don't know this song.
Turn the channel. Because it's TV time.
TV.
TV time.
It's TV. You could just clap.
Oh, okay. In time.
Yeah, for TV. Hooray for TV.
The role of Hawker is cast for the Arrow Flash spinoff.
Boom.
All right.
All right.
The lovely Ciara.
We really nailed that.
Yeah, we did. We did pretty good. The lovely Ciara Renee. This chick just graduated from Baldwin Wallace University in 2013 with a musical theater degree. She's had a guest star on Law & Order. She did a couple things on Broadway. All of a sudden, bam, she's now going to be Hawkgirl in the Arrow Flash spinoff.
She's gorgeous. I love her smile, and I like people who are classically trained, and she's been on Broadway, so we know that she can handle being in a TV series. I think this is great. I don't actually know her talent ability because I haven't seen her, but I'm assuming it's strong.
It's probably phenomenal.
And if
she's been doing this much work right out of school, I can't imagine that's a fluke.
And, like, could she be any better looking? She just is great. I think it's great.
Yeah, she's doing okay for herself.
Mm-hmm.
The creep meter just went up.
Yeah, is she, what's going on down there, Johnny?
Shush, you. After you say you want to taste in your mouth.
I love Hawk Girl.
I was just going to ask you.
I freaking love Hawk Girl. So you think that was Hawk Woman.
The good, because we mentioned they were going to have three new characters that we haven't necessarily seen a lot of. Right on. So you're really on board with
them. I'm totally on board. I think Hawk Girl is more interesting than Hawkman.
I do,
absolutely. And it's Hawkman. Just, I mean, he was a cool character when he came out in the 40s. It was a great concept of this guy who recalls that he's the reincarnation of this Egyptian warrior prince, and he gets this wing harness and blah blah blah. It's kind of played out now. Like in modern comics, when they have the original Hawkman showed up, it's sort of like he's. And some writers have done him better. Like Geoff Johns did a great run with him. But a bunch of writers keep making him just like the team's Wolverine, whichever group he's with. Like, oh, he's kind of like Wolverine. Which is just played out now because we've seen that kind of a character time and time again. Whereas Hawk Girl is a great character because she's got some of those elements, but she always had a harder time dealing with this reincarnated version of herself and that knowledge. It wasn't just, I accept I'm this warrior from the past. Like, but I must be me. Like,
it goes back to insecurity.
It goes back to insecurity. It goes into like carving out your own identity. And I mean, I loved it when they had the alien version of her on Justice League with Wonder Woman, because then neither of them could be pigeonholed into Warrior Woman archetype. They had to really be characters beyond being able to kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is fantastic. And she's got a great visual to her. Cool. It's a woman with wings. And oftentimes a mace. That's a fantastic visual.
I don't know if you know anything about this, but from the chat, Scotty02 says, aren't they changing Hawkwoman's origin story, though?
I heard that she...
I mean Hawk Girl or what?
Not that I've heard.
I heard that she's going to be someone who is reincarnated of a past warrior. Right, so that's Hawk Girl. Hawk Woman was the alien from Thanagar.
I'm assuming that's Hawk different. Girl.
And now, Hawk Girl is who we got.
As excited as you are about Hawk Girl, I think this next role, for two reasons, you might be a little more excited about. Number one, because he's a badass. But number two, the man cast as Rip Hunter is a Doctor Who alum. He goes by the name of Arthur Darvill.
Yeah, Arthur
Darvill. Darvill.
Yeah. Arthur Darvill is, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. He's mainly been a theater actor, actually. Him and Matt Smith, who was the 11th Doctor, actually met on stage years before they ever did Doctor Who.
Hmm.
And he was recently in Dr. Faustus, I think. He was on Broadchurch on the BBC. He's a phenomenal actor. I've met him a couple times. Really, really chill, funny guy. And so I'm excited to see him in any basic role, especially a geeky role. And then Rip Hunter is one of those like weird sort of niche characters.
Like a Han Solo type.
I mean, he doesn't get used too often. And again, sometimes people don't know what to do with him. But I've always loved the concept of him. I dig time travel in general. So the fact that you're bringing in Rip Hunter and you've got a Doctor Who alum who's going to be playing a very different character than who he played on Doctor Who, I think that's also very exciting. This is such a different persona than who he played on Doctor Who. So... Yes, but I'm also just wondering, what are going to be their time travel rules? Because that was always something that had to happen in the comics. Like, they always needed to figure out, what are our rules on time travel so Rip doesn't just, have a get-out-of-free card all the time.
Right now, for Flash at least, and this is a spinoff, we seem to be going off of Flashpoint Paradox, and there's all different things, and we're still making the rules as we go, which will be interesting to see what happens.
Well, with DC Comics, in the comic universe, the rules also depended on the method of time travel.
Right.
So, like certain people could travel through time and change the past, whereas Flash, because of the way his powers worked, generally in the comics couldn't. We've seen the TV show, they're playing with that a bit where he can.
And in more recent comics, he has been able to, and that's how we have some same flashes and same time.
Right.
I know what you mean. It will be interesting to see how it all works out. It also will be interesting just to see the spinoff in general. They're stacking it with great characters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting people
They might not be done yet.
Yeah.
If we're seeing Rip Hunter, how long until we see Booster Gold?
That's right, because we later got the retconned idea that Rip is actually the son of Booster Gold.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. I don't know. I definitely don't think they're done. And I think that we're in for a lot more surprises.
But I'm wondering what this show is now. Like, is this another team? Or is this going to be, like... The old Brave and the Bold comics, where each episode or two is a different couple of characters teaming up.
I think their idea is that it's going to be almost like a collection of little miniseries.
I'm so down with that. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that way it introduces so many different stories that you can
Then you're creating a universe.
Absolutely. And we get to see all different characters and different storylines. I think it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we already have other stuff going on. And then with Supergirl coming, too.
Yeah!
Yeah. We got a lot.
A lot of stuff.
And iZombies, which is kicking butt right now.
I gotta say, I've been charmed by iZombie.
Me too.
I wasn't sure I would dig it. I like it.
I like it a lot.
It's very fun.
Absolutely.
Everyone just quit your jobs. So much TV.
Yeah.
So many movies.
Somebody wrote last week.
There's too much good TV.
Last week they wrote, Roxy, I wish I had as much free time to watch TV as you do. I don't really have that much free time. I just watch a lot of TV. It's sleeping that I don't do.
I don't sleep either.
So, hey, if you quit sleeping, then you get to watch as much TV as you want.
That is very
true. I just sleep fast.
Words of wisdom, yeah.
He's a power napper.
Yeah.
You just
6 hours and 2 hours. Done.
Yeah.
Just sleep faster.
You travel through time while sleeping.
Yeah.
You're the Rip Hunter of sleeping.
That's kind of what it is.
Sleep Hunter.
You wake up and it's later in the day. That's time travel.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
Real quick before we get to your questions.
Things are happening.
Just so you know, Constantine's going to be pitched to NBC at the end of April. The executive producer, Daniel Cerone, said, end of April date has been set to pitch second season ideas to NBC. Then they decide on a season two. A pitch never guarantees anything, but it means the network is at least open to listening to it. So hashtag save Constantine. We'll see what happens there.
I just think this shows the power of social media right now. I think that if it wasn't for hashtag save Constantine, and if it wasn't for social media, Constantine would be gone.
That's the only reason.
I agree.
So you guys at home, you go, guys. This is you, 100%. All you. Fight for the shows that you love, and people are loving the show. And I will speak for Adam Gertler here that he's Constantine obsessed. It's his favorite DC show right now. So, you know, I know that people out there really, really like it. I think that's awesome, and I hope that they get a season two for you fans.
Best of luck to them. And the final bit of news we have, Convergence is coming. The 9-issue weekly event combining the worlds of fan-favorite DC stories into one will center around Brainiac, it's looking like. And that's going to be, it sounds like it's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, the trailer for it seemed awesome. You know, people have been upset about New 52 ending. I think that this made them a little less upset. I think it looked really cool. Really, really cool.
What do you think?
I'm still mixed about this because, I mean, the main idea is Brainiac's behind it, but we're told from the solicitations Brainiac's not really going to be seen in much of it. He's going to be seen like the beginning and the end. And in the meantime, we've got this new dude, Telos, who's like son of Brainiac, which... And again, it's a concept we've seen before. There's already a son of Brainiac, and I'm sort of like, but I want to see Brainiac, and I want to see Brainiac really done well. There's also, I do like, and the trailer was talking about it, that we get to revisit and give closure to some previous versions of some characters, like
that's
the name and Toy is the
part.
Question. I think that's cool, but then also in the solicitations, one recurring theme seems to be that in almost every one of these issues, those characters that we're going to see are going to be fighting like Elseworlds characters or other multi-universe characters, and that interests me less. Like I don't really want to see the last Renee Montoya story be about she's fighting Red Sun Superman or something. I don't want to see
a mesh just to have a mesh, really. Is that what you're
saying? Like if you want to provide closure to like Renee Montoya, then I want to see a really just kick-ass Renee Montoya story. Now, at the same time, Greg Rucka is writing it, so I'm sure it will be kick-ass. So I'm very mixed on this. I mean, but I wish well. I hope it's cool. I'm sure lots of it will be. That's the other thing. There's going to be so many books.
There's so many options.
There are like 40 issues.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
so inevitably there will be some issues that I think are kind of lame, but that doesn't mean the overall thing will be. So I don't know. I'm very much let's wait and see on this. I'm not downing it, but
we're always optimistic on this show.
Yeah.
You know, we're on board with give it everything a shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'll totally give it a shot.
Yeah. Try it once.
All right. Well, moving on. I think it's question time. It's been official. You'll mention that in the questions.
Yeah. We'll talk about it right now. So this is coming from
question time. Oh. It's question time. It's Roxy Stryer and it's question time.
Where'd the cloud go? That was the best part. Okay, this is from @ChrisBarnes182 says, what's everyone's thought on @AmeliWood, so Stephen Amell, being cast as Casey Jones in @TMNT Movie 2, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 2. I love the casting is what @ChrisBarnes182 said.
I love the casting. I am not excited for that movie, but you put Amell in it, it's like... I kind of might need to see it now, because Amelis Casey Jones, that's freaking genius is what that is.
I mean, cowabunga, but am I the only person who's surprised they're making a sequel?
No, because even though the first one wasn't that good, it still made money. So.
It made enough that they're gonna pour it into.
Well, kids will go see it, and well, kids. Well, I'm sorry, parents will take their kids to go.
Right. Just for clarification purposes, because people have been saying why would you talk about this? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle is not DC. This is all about Stephen Amell coming from Arrow, being a DC character going over there.
And for him, it's a no brainer. Why wouldn't you? Being a Ninja Turtle movie.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, also, no. I don't blame him for saying yes to that. Like, you want to pay me to play Casey Jones? Sure.
Right. I'd love to see him get work because he's amazingly talented.
Play Bebop or Rocksteady. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on board.
You go.
Ugly me up. Let's do this.
Okay. This is coming from at Pistol Birchell 3. Sorry if I butchered
well
that.
Well said.
Thank you. I really want to see Martian Manhunter in DC movie universe, especially with the Justice League. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Martian
you
Manhunter.
Don't think it's getting too convoluted with characters?
At this point,
at this point, throw them all in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
see what kind of soup we get?
I mean, I would hold off. I wouldn't have him in Batman v Superman because that is getting too convoluted with characters.
Agreed.
But for a Justice League movie, yeah, John is the heart and soul of so many incarnations of the Justice League team. He brings a quality that the other heroes don't. He's the one of the few truly alien characters who's on there. Like, he's...
Right.
You know, unlike Superman, he grew up on his planet. He lived there, he had a family, and then he lost it. So his tragedy is very different. If you also played it the way that they did in the comics, where they kept, instead of modernizing when he landed on Earth, they kept the idea that he landed on Earth, that he was brought to Earth in the 1950s, and has just been living secretly among us until superheroes showed up, I would love that, because then you can have all these flashback tales to, like, what he did to either look after certain people when they didn't know about it or fight certain menaces that only he could fight because there were no superheroes. Like, you could do great flashbacks with him and Ra's al Ghul. Like, you know, you could do so much with him. And, I think the way they did on Smallville showed you the great stuff they can do with Morris. I think Morris did a great job in Smallville with him.
Right. I would love to see him, yes, in the movie universe, but also come back to the TV universe, especially when we were talking about earlier this week, they announced that from Smallville, he might be coming back and reprising his role as Clark Kent. And so having different people come in, I think Martian Manhunter on TV, and then getting people familiarized, not that he's an uncommon character, he is common, but just I like bringing people to TV, then bringing them to movies.
Here's a quick one I really like in the chat role from our man Nicholas Bolgioni. Italian. What's up, brother? Can I ask a question? Sure you can. So with Deadpool being R-rated, does that give Suicide Squad more room to be R-rated after all? Kind of a yes or no. What are your thoughts real quick?
No. I don't think Suicide Squad will be, but I do wish that they would look into it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't need it to be. I don't necessarily think Deadpool should be R-rated either.
Yeah.
I think, look, the comic book has been PG-13, and it works. It's really funny. We all like the comic book. And frankly, you know, I don't think you need... Like, what's R-rating really going to get you? Like, are you going to throw in a Deadpool sex scene? Or are you going to pull in a Suicide Squad sex scene?
Point
like,
taken.
I don't really think that would needs to be in the story. Like, that would just be extra just to have it there. I say, you know, if your movie can't be good at PG-13, then pushing it up to R ain't going to help you.
That's a great point. You can get away with a lot anyway, PG-13.
Absolutely. Like, most, I mean, freaking Suicide Squad's been awesome on Arrow.
That's very true, and I hear what you're saying, but I think that Suicide Squad is one of the only parts of Arrow that might have benefited from being on an HBO or an FX or something, making it even more intense, even more bloody, whatever
My
it is.
My thing is, like, I don't want teenagers to have to sneak in there. Like, I think, I mean...
Which is why I don't think they'll do it. I'm just saying the actual quality of it, I think that it could benefit from being R-rated. I don't think it has to. I don't think this will make it.
But you could also do the opposite argument, though. It might make everyone step their game up to make it PG-13. Like, for example, like, just as a comic, it's a lot harder to write PG-13 material than R-rated material. You got to really be more creative and you got to be more
Well,
clever,
it's like, for me, I'm the kind of guy where I think implied violence at times that quickly happens and then most of it is actually off screen is far freakier because your mind is filling in the gaps. Then, you know, Saw after a while is just like, All right.
I get what
you're
saying.
What are you
saying.
Doing now?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a personal preference thing.
It is it's totally a personal preference. If they make it R, I'm not going to, like, screw this and leave.
I think the point is that they won't, though. They won't.
Someone eat my popcorn.
Yeah.
We have time for one or two more. Go ahead.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't know until I was in the theater.
Coming from at the Arkham Titan says, hi, guys. Love the show. Thank you. Do you think that at DC Comics will announce Green Lantern and Shazam casting at Comic-Con?
At San Diego?
I'm assuming they mean San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah. I'm assuming they mean this year.
I say no.
Yeah, I don't.
Otherwise, we'll be too late.
Shazam, maybe. Green Lantern, no.
I would just like them to announce which version of the character we would be seeing.
I still say no.
You don't think we'll
I don't
see
think
either?
They will. Nah.
No, they won't.
They're not going to rush it.
Okay. No.
They have so much going on.
Shazam, they freaking need to, because we're already getting too much about Black Adam. Like, well, who is Billy? Who is playing Billy?
I'm telling you that The Rock's playing both roles.
Wow.
Okay.
Freaky Friday. Well, that way, that's not even... No, that's two different... Whatever.
Just start naming movies. Mr. Mom.
Yeah, Mr. Three Men and a Baby.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh.
I Know What You Did Last Summer after... What's the sequel? It was like...
I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Which to me, I'm like, well, wait, is this still a year later, because otherwise your title makes no sense. It's got to be two summers ago or so.
Yeah, it should have been. You're having too much fun in the summer.
Anyway,
with your murder.
Getting to one last question. This is from YouTuber Analyst says, I have a question. Do you think Batman and Wonder Woman should have a sweet ass relationship just like in the animated series of Justice League Unlimited? So we talked a little bit about Wonder Woman's love life. What do you guys think?
I definitely prefer that Batman and Wonder Woman have some kind of connection, and I like how they did in the Justice League, where they both acknowledge it. There's clearly a flirtation, but
right,
you know,
keep it at that.
They kind of keep it at that. It doesn't actually fully form. I actually talked about this a few times with Susan Eisenberg, who voiced Wonder Woman on that cartoon, and she loved those scenes, and she always wanted to see it play out more.
You're very popular.
I try. I'm charming.
It's true.
You know, whereas the Superman and Wonder Woman relationship never really interests me much.
Agreed. Mm. Yeah. I would love to keep it more, like, keep people guessing a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And that happens in real life, where there are people who sort of acknowledge, like, under other circumstances, we would probably be okay together, but for whatever reason, we don't think it would work, or we work together so we don't think it would work,
yeah,
or there are other factors and we know it wouldn't work.
On a much smaller scale, someone in chat role asked during this episode, are Johnny and Roxy a thing? No! We're buddies!
I tried to say yes, so what just happened?
Oh, sorry.
Damn!
Let's keep the mystery.
Scandal!
I feel like I'm confused. Was that not a date last week?
Scandal. Just gonna take the lip gloss and the lipstick.
You keep smelling my lip gloss.
Yes. Do the normal breakup behavior of taking the girl's lip gloss and
lipstick.
That's the closest
you'll get to my lips.
I don't know what to do with my
Johnny
hands right
jerk.
Now. I don't know what to do with my hands right now. What a show this has
Calm
been.
Calm down, Ricky Bobby.
What a show this has been. Alan Sizzler Kistler, please feel free to tell people where they can find you and anything else you'd like to say.
You can find me on YouTube at Alan Sizzler Kistler. You can find me on Twitter at Sizzler Kistler.
Boom.
And AlanKistler.com is my website. This weekend at WonderCon, if you're there, come and say hi.
Yeah.
I'll also be selling some copies of the unofficial Game of Thrones cookbook and Doctor Who history.
Cool. That cookbook sounds pretty awesome.
I want that cookbook.
It's fun.
A lot of meat. I imagine.
I did put in some vegetarian options, some mixed drinks based on the poisons, direwolf ale.
Well, here.
Things like that.
Are you going to throw a Game of Thrones premiere party? Because I'm coming if you are.
A friend of mine and I have been talking about
you are now.
The possibility. Roxy's just going to show up.
Because I invited myself.
I brought chips.
She's going to show up half in the bag, like, all right, let's do this.
Roxy Stryer, yourself, go.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. All is fair in love and war and happiness and peace for everybody. And I want my lip gloss back.
Got it.
Johnny, we're done.
All right. At Jay Quasto, if you live in Arizona, I'm going to be at Stand Up Scottsdale starting tomorrow, which is why we recorded on Wednesday. April 2nd, April 5th, doing comedy. So hit me up on social media. I would love to see you there. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you soon, DCU.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.